In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Several years ago, I went to a lecture because of the posters that advertised it. Dr. Robert Hawkins, who occupied Sir Isaac Newton's chair of physics, was advertised as the one who would most likely replace the famous E equals mc squared formula of Einstein. It was a moving experience because Dr. Hawkins lectured through a teaching assistant. A debilitating nervous disease had placed him in a wheelchair, and though he soared with his mathematical formulas beyond any of his peers, he was reduced to answering through this student who alone understood him. In the question and answer period, one of the physicists present pushed him and said, "When will we have it? When will we have your formula that will replace that formula that we've been living on and is associated with Einstein?" His reply was striking. He said, "I really don't think we'll ever have it. In fact," he says, "I believe God smiles as we stumble with our mathematical formulas." Every formula that he had achieved, he said, opened up new complexities rather than unifying the whole. God's smile. What that smile meant to Robert Hawkins was that God was laughing at our feeble efforts to reach and encompass Him. Not unlike Psalm 2, where the poet raises his voice and says, "When the kingdoms plotted together and the kings joined against the Lord and against His anointed, God in the heavens laughed." That sort of smile on God's behalf is really a joke. A joke on a humanity that can never begin to reach Him, whether it's the intellect soaring or the prideful rebellion. That smile is not pleasant. Today's text in St. Paul holds up a smile that is genuine. It's a smile that is rich, and it's a smile that is concretized in one place. Listen again to these verses. "And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the time will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ." On this day of the visitation, when we behold afresh the mystery of the Word becoming flesh, we behold that smile of God that was directed to each of us. That costly smile that doesn't disguise God, but that shows us His very heart. And that heart is not one of playing a joke on us, or stressing our finitude or our pride over against His infinitude and holiness. No, His smile is a costly smile. It is a smile that gives its very nature as the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. What a privilege to behold that mystery in worship, to come together in this house and to see God's costly smile, radiant and glorious in the face of Christ. and to see literally the universe united in this one person and in this one place. The unexpected place, the womb of a virgin. An unexpected birthplace, Bethlehem. An unexpected death place, Golgotha. But those places show us infinity. Here is a formula. Here is a word that can unite all. All for us, Christ and His work. In our baptism, we were incorporated into that mystery, into Him. In His gospel, we are nourished, and at His table, we are fed, so that we might, as God's people, go out and show God as He is, not mischievous and laughing at our feeble efforts to describe Him, nor vengeful, condemning us for our sin, but a God who smiles upon each and every human being, smiles in the face of Christ, and gives that very offering of Christ in the cross, and distributes it at the table and in the gospel, so that all might see the whole of reality. May God grant you that Christ and His mysterious presence would forever open up your world, all of it, cleansing it from all sin, uniting it in the precious means of grace with that smile, that mercy of God. And then may that smile send us forth as messengers of Christ, proclaiming not our particular formulas, but that one mystery and that one name that does unite all. Amen.